All right. How's everybody doing this morning? It looks like some people forgot to turn their clocks ahead. We'll see who walks in a little while, right? You know, kind of a test of who remembers. All right. Hey, how you guys doing? This is it. This is the last week. Everybody, you know, some of you are kind of a week behind because of various scheduling issues, but this is the last week. Remember, we've been on this journey of spiritual growth, and what I've been excited about is that some of you have never been through a spiritual growth campaign with us, and it's been my prayer that God has really used this to bless you and to encourage you and strengthen you. And one of my prayers is that many of you started a home group, started some time Bible studying in your home. Just because we're finishing the study does not mean the group has to end. And so if you're doing a home group or you want to look at a home group, I got material back there, some of it DVD, some of it you just teach yourself. But we have material around, talk to me, and because I want to see these groups continue, because I really believe this. I share this with you as your pastor week in and week out. If you're going to succeed in life, if you're going to get through this world, you need three things. You need a church home, you need a small group, you need somebody who can say the hard things to you. Somebody who can look you in the eye and say, Gary, you're being a jerk. All right? We need those things in our life. And so we've been on this journey of spiritual health. All right? And so we talked about our spiritual health and our physical health. And one of my goals was to lose weight. Well, guess what? It ain't happening yet. That physical one, that goal is still hanging there and nothing's going on. I mean, you know, it's supposed to melt away, but somebody, now I don't know which one of you did this, but you need to confess. Some of you dropped a bag of candy on my desk. All right, full of Snickers and Hershey and Mars M&M. That's not fair, all right? You know, but we want to grow spiritually. We wanted to grow healthy physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally, and last week it was financially. And this week I want to talk about vocationally. How do you get along at work? Anybody ever struggle at work? Anybody have battles at work? Anybody, you know, that work environment? How do we get through that work environment? You know, how do we exist in those opportunities? And so what I want to talk about today is kind of step back from there, and I want to talk about our dreams. How many of you remember when you were a child? Some of you are still children. At least I like to think of myself as a child. Yeah. I wanted to grow up and be a, right, policeman, you know, a fireman, a princess. Now, that was, some of you may want to grow up and be a princess. You know, I never dreamed of being a princess, okay? That was not one of my dreams. But we have these dreams, you know, and you go through life. You know, I dream of getting married. You know, you dream of having kids. You dream of going to college. You know, you dream when the kids get away, finally, come on, you know, and they're gone. You know, we have these dreams, you know, this dream of retirement. Some of us are getting to the age where, you know, I'm going to be like to retire. We have these dreams. But the problem with the dreams is sometimes we don't go for them. Sometimes for one reason or another, we don't pursue that dream. Things get in the way of those dreams. Maybe you've had that experience in your life. Maybe you had this dream and maybe finances got in the way. Maybe health got in the way. Maybe somebody got in the way. But you had these dreams and something happened and you didn't achieve that dream. So for this morning's message, I'm going to call those things that kind of block that dream, giants, just for my message this morning. That there's things that giants stand in front of us that prevent us from going. I'm using the term because I think the Bible has an answer of achieving our dreams. See, dreams are something that God gave us the ability to do. Anybody got pets? Anybody got pets? Dogs, cats, fish? I don't know what else there is. Birds, okay. Kids, pet kids, you know. Well, pets, they don't dream. You know, animals don't dream. You look at your dog laying there, oh, he's dreaming. I mean, he's dreaming, all right? humans are the ones that dream. You know, humans are the ones that dream. You know, we see a future. You know, we think of what can be, of what the possibilities are. But sometimes there's giants in the way. And there's a beautiful story in the Bible that can help us when we face these giants. You know, it could be fear of rejection. It could be those finances. It could be that health. It could be all sorts of stuff. There's a story of David and Goliath. Know that story? Now, how many of us, now, you might not want to raise your hand on this. How many remember flannel boards? Come on. You know, you had that big old giant guy named Goliath. Womp, you slap that on that flannel board. Then you get this little scrawny looking thing called David, and you put that on that board, you know, and then you start telling the story. You know, and you start sharing the story of David and Goliath. And we're familiar with the story. And we see this story of David, this scrawny little, this teenage boy that shows up on the battlefield because he's bringing lunch to his brothers. You know, he's supposed to be taking care of the sheep, but dad says, hey, take a break. Take your brother's lunch. They're out there getting ready for the battle. And he shows up on this battlefield, and there's that big old 9-foot-tall giant named Goliath just threatening everybody. You know? Now, all the people, all the army is sitting there. Intimidated, fearful, discouraged. And Goliath is standing there. Just one of you. I'm the best. You get your best, and we'll just settle it, and that'll be the end of it. And here's David walks in and goes, I'll do it. I'll take on the giant. I'll deal with that giant. I'll have this battle. Look at what it says here. If you got your outline, you can follow along. The Philistine got ready for war and brought their troops together to attack the town of Shechem in Judah. Now, I went to school and I had masters, and they taught us how to pronounce these names that I forgot how. All right? That was seminary was a long time ago. All right? So you're going to have to put up with it. All right? I can say Judah, though. That was pretty good. All right? They set up a camp at Ephes Adamanin. Between Saka and Asaka. Whew. Too bad they don't speak English. King Saul's Israelite army, man, I got that one right, set up a camp on a hill overlooking Elah Valley. And they got ready to fight the Philistine army that was on a hill on the other side of the valley. The Philistine army had a hero named Goliath who was from the town of Gath and was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet and had bronze armor to protect his chest and his legs. The chest armor alone weighed about 125 pounds. He carried a bronze sword strapped on his back, and his spear was so big that the iron spearhead alone weighed more than 15 pounds. A soldier always walked in front of Goliath to carry his shield. Anybody have a dream and all of a sudden you're face to face with a giant? You know? Yeah, you know, you want to go here, you wanted to do this, you wanted to accomplish this, and you had this dream, you had this vision, you had this desire, and then all of a sudden you're moving toward, and all of a sudden there's a giant in front of you. Maybe a giant of finances. You know, I wanted to go to college, but there's no money. I can't go to college. Maybe finances of health. You know, I'm just not healthy to run that marathon. Anybody? You know, and you have this, you had these dreams, and for one reason or another, you can't get there. And there's this Goliath standing in front of them, challenging them. And I want to ask you, what challenges your dream? See, most of us, as we go through life, there's not a lot of big things that challenge us. I don't know about you, it's the little things that gnaw on me. You know what I'm talking about? I always remember this story. I visited with somebody one time who was having trouble. He was saying this. It was trouble at work. And he was going, you know what? And he's quitting. And his comment was this, you know, I don't have any big problems. I don't have major things going on. I'm just tired of the chihuahuas chewing on me. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, you don't have that big dog, that Brazilian Mastiff sitting over here. You got those little chihuahuas that are just gnawing at you all. Anybody ever get tired of that? You know? It's not that big giant. It's those little things. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. What are those little things, those small things that challenge us? Because as we look at this story and we see this story, it doesn't start here. This is Samuel, the 17th chapter. But to get a picture of David standing facing this giant, you've got to go back to the 16th chapter. Because that's where the dream starts. See, the 16th chapter is the story of Saul and Samuel and Jesse and David and other brothers. See, God had decided Saul's term of king was soon to be over. And so he said, I need a new king for my people. And so he calls Samuel, who is a prophet, who was a man of God. He says, I want you to go anoint this new king for me. So he sends him to a guy named Jesse's house. And so he goes out to Jesse's house, and at Jesse's house, he arrives, and he says, you got any sons? God has sent me here to anoint king. And Jesse says, yeah, I got eight sons. I got eight sons. And he begins to file the sons through. And the first one, the oldest comes, so you got to start with the oldest. Oldest is best, right? Come on, raise your hand, all you old ones. Oldest is always best, right? Yep. So he starts with the oldest, but it wasn't the oldest. Sorry about that. So the oldest files through, and it's, nope, not him. Number two, nope, not him. Number three, nope. Four, five, six, seven, nope, 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 nope. You got any more? I told you I got eight. Where's he at? Well, he's out taking care of the sheep. He's that scrawny runt of the family. You know, these are my boys. He's my boy. And so he says, well, go get him. So David walks in, and Saul says, he's the one. He's the chosen one of God. He's the new king of Israel. And Saul anoints him and says, you're the new king of Israel. All right? Sound pretty good, right? I'm the new king. All right. Brothers, you're going to get your turn now. You've been picking on me. Now it's my turn, right? No. All right. Dad says, good job. Get out there and take care of the sheep. Come on, I'm the new king, right? I'm the king. I've been anointed king, and I'm going to go take care of sheep. You ever smell wet sheep? You know, you ever step in sheep? You know, I don't want to be there. You know, I'm the king. You know, nope. You go out there. That's how our dreams were. You get this dream. Come on now, you know, this dream, and you got this vision, and you see it. Go. racial discrimination, age discrimination. In America, that's called against the law, right? That, you know, health, beauty, you know, smart. We have all these, and we get held back. So you're going to have delays. I want you to know that. You're going to have delays. Your dream, your vision will have delays. Things always go the way you dream. That always go the way you want. And sometimes there's delays. Now, just so you know, for me, I'm glad God had a delay system. I wasn't ready. All right? Just anybody, you know, you think you're, anybody ever think you're ready when you're really not? And I wasn't ready. And God had a plan. And so sometimes there's a delay. Sometimes it doesn't always go right and doesn't always go well. How about the next one I want to put down? Here's another little giant you'll face when you look at your dreams. Discouragement. It's called discouragement. You're going to get discouraged. Not only are you going to get discouraged, people are going to discourage you. All right? Goliath is standing there challenging the people. Little David walks up with his bag lunches for his brothers and says, "I'll take on that giant." And everybody goes, "Yay, David," right? Everybody's jumping, "David's going to fight for us. Yay, we finally got a person to fight for us." No. What did they tell David? "You're a scrawny runt. Who do you think you are? What are you thinking? You can't do that." Anybody have that discouragement when you have your dream? Anybody ever tell you that you can't do it? Anybody discourage you? What are you thinking? What do you mean? Who do you think you are? See, when you have a dream, there's going to be people who discourage you. Am I right? People who are going to put you down. I always ask people for me, you know, because the way I was when I went through school and everything. Do you ever believe I'd be a pastor? First of all, no. Nobody believes I'd be a pastor when they knew me when I was 13, 14 years old. You guys wouldn't think I'd be a pastor when I was 13, 14 years old. You know? Nobody would thought I would have went to school and got a doctorate. You know, when you're sitting in your counselor's office for the last 2 weeks of school to graduate, now they wouldn't do that to you now. I was 2.5 units short because I cut school too much. Now, don't listen to me, kids. Yeah, and so go sit in the office for 2.5 hours for the next 2 weeks, every day after school, and then you can graduate. And then I end up with a doctorate. Yeah, tell me how that happens. That's a God thing. You're going to face discouragement. Somebody's going to put you down. Somebody's not going to like that. Look at what it says here. Now, he, Goliath, stood and shouted to the Israelite battle formation. "Why do you come out to line up in battle formation?" he asked them. "Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose one of your men and have him come down against me. If he wins in a fight against me and kills me, we will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us." The Philistine said, "I defy Israel today. Send him in so we can fight each other." When Saul and all Israel heard these words from the Philistines, they lost their courage and were terrified. I underlined those two words. They lost their courage and terrified. You ever lose your courage? You ever get terrified? You know, you got the dream, you got the vision, you got the heart, you know you're going this way, and it's just discouraging. Things aren't the way you thought they would. Things aren't together the way you thought they were. There's that giant of discouragement. It's there. It won't let you go. And you need to understand there's going to be people who discourage you. You know? And what you got to worry about is discouragement is contagious. It says the whole army was fearful. The whole army was terrified. You ever, you know, something happens and one person starts running. What does everybody else start? Don't they all start running? You know, it's like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting new. You know? Well, that's what's going, you know, I'm going to tell you. You're going to get discouraged. People are going to be angry. Are you going to hang with them? People are going to be putting you down. People are going to be negative. People are going to be bitter. People are going to be fearful. See, you got to realize that. But you can be the different one. David was the different one. Anybody on board with that one? David wasn't going to go with the crowd. Let me tell you something. The crowd is not always right. You guys get that? Just because everybody says it's so doesn't make it so. Nobody can beat Goliath. Everybody says that, right? That's a losing battle. Everybody. Nobody wants to take him on. And we need to see that you got to watch that negativity that sets in. See, and there's that giant encouragement. The other giant I put down here is this. The giant of disapproval. I don't know about you, but I want to be liked. Anybody here want to be liked? Nobody wants to be liked? I got one. I got two, three, four. And now I got some people that want to be liked. You know, we all want to be liked. I want people to like me. I want people to love me. You don't have to hug me to love me, but I want people to love me. You know? We all want that. And so, you know, you come out and sometimes when you cast that vision, when you say, I have this dream, people are going to put you down and they're going to disapprove of you. You know, they're going to, you know, David, who do you think you are? David, what about this? And they're going to disapprove. We're all afraid of rejection. And what's interesting, where does this rejection start? Started in his family with his brothers. He brings the lunch and he says, hey, brothers, what's going on? He goes, well, I'll do it. And his brothers say, get out of here. Anybody been discouraged at home and disapproved at home? I was the only one that went to church in my family. Yeah. I remember my son was in the Army when he first went in the Army and he came back from Iraq. He's stationed in North Carolina like this. And his platoon sergeant went to church and his platoon sergeant's wife, who was really nice, was his Sunday school teacher. And my son had the car and he was the designated driver. Because you know what a lot of Army guys do, right? Anybody know what a lot of Army guys do? They drink. And so my son, he would get to eat. He'd go to Texas Roadhouse and he'd buy me a steak and I'll drive you home. You know, and so, but he would get up in the morning and go to church and he would talk about how weird it was getting out of bed and leaving the barracks and going to church. Anybody disapproval? You're afraid of what somebody's going to think? What somebody's going to say? You know, it's kind of like, you know, for me, you know, I got to worry. I got a big ego. Anybody? You guys are going to go, we already know that, right? Because I tell you all the time, you don't have to stroke my ego. I stroke my own ego, okay? You know? But it's not my cockiness, okay? I don't want to think I'm cocky because here's what I believe. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You get the picture? I'm not being cocky. I got confidence in God. All right? And so we need that approval. We want the full. But look at what it says. But when David's oldest brothers, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about these few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. What have I done now? David replied. I was only asking questions. You know, his brothers, you know, it's like, get over there and take it. What are you doing here? You ever feel that you get an idea at work? You got a dream, a vision in your family, and all of a sudden somebody poo-poos on it? Huh? You know, it's just, how do you feel? You know, and so we're going to face disapproval. And sometimes it comes from the family. I've shared with you, I've never forgot this. I'm sitting on the couch. I can still vision this because it comes from my mom. I'm sitting on the couch, and we're getting ready. Laura and I, we're married, and we're going to take off and head down to college. And my mom goes, make sure you take some extra classes just in case this preaching thing doesn't work out. Mom, you don't get it. You don't understand. That's not the way it works. Even within the home, anybody had those, you know, you got that dream and you're moving towards it and somebody's just, because we want that approval of others. So expect to be disapproved on. But here's what happens. You get enough of that discouragement and you get enough of that disapproval, it starts settling in on you. And then you start wondering, right? Come on. You start wondering, can I do this? Yeah. Because now all of a sudden you're doubting. That's the next one put down there. Doubt. Because now you start doubting. well, maybe I can't. Maybe I'm not the one. Maybe, and all of a sudden you start doubting yourself. You start second guessing. You start trying to figure things out. See, everyone around you is just all of a sudden that discouragement and that disapproval starts settling in on you, and you start thinking, I can't do it. I'm not sure I can. I'm not sure I want to. And you begin to have that doubt in your mind. Look at what it says here. Look at David. Your Majesty, David, he said, this Philistine shouldn't turn us into cowards. I'll go fight. I'll go out and fight him myself. You don't have a chance against him, Saul replied. You're only a boy, and he's been a soldier all his life. Doubt. You can't do it. Can I do it? Can I make it happen? Am I the one? Anybody ever have doubts about your dream? You got this vision, you got this dream, and then it's just like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure anymore. I don't know anymore. See, how do we fight these giants? How do you deal? How do you deal with that delay? How do you deal with discouragement? How do you deal with disapproval? How do you deal with that? How do you fight these giants? Because this is David. He hadn't even faced Goliath yet. He hasn't even approached Goliath. There's that big giant, Goliath, standing there. And then he's got all these little giants, those chihuahuas chewing on him. The chihuahua of deny, get out of here, deny. You got the chihuahua of discouragement, the chihuahua of disapproval, that deny, doubt, and it's like, we can't even fit giant because we got the little ones that are just chewing us to pieces. Anybody? You get those dreams? You have that feeling? How do you deal with those? What do you do when you have that delay, that discouragement, that disapproval? How do you handle it? And that's when we really see Goliath. That's when we see David stepping up. That's when we see a change here. How do you fight that battle? How do you move on? And the first thing I want you to look at, you write the word remember down. Remember how God has helped you in the past. Remember, when doubt, when discouragement, when the delay is there, remember. Remember what God has done. Remember that time when you were at the end of your rope. Anybody been at the end of your rope there? Remember you were in the pits of depression, in the pits of frustration. And God showed up. Anybody remember those times? Remember that battle? That war that was going on? And all of a sudden it collapsed around you because God stepped in. Anybody remember? See, when you face these giants, you got to step back and remember. See, a lot of times we get caught up in what's in front of us and we don't remember what's past us. Because here's what you need to know. The God of today, it's the same God that was yesterday, and he'll be the same God tomorrow. Anybody on board with that? There's a scripture like that, isn't there? And we need to see that in our lives. We got to remember. We need to pause and go back and remember. I'm at the bottom. It's over. I'm done. I'm pulling the blanket over my head. Me alone, Laura. Don't bother me. That God... See, that's David. Listen to what David says. Sir, I have killed lions and bears that way, and I can kill this worthless Philistine. He shouldn't have made fun of the army of the living God. He's confident. He's remembering. He had that sling shot. Now, not our kind of sling shot, right? He had that thing you whip around, Just to let you know, I did some research on that. He could throw a stone with that slingshot at 80 miles an hour. So when it says it hit the Philistine Goliath between the eyes and sunk, that's a good story. I like that as a guy. Yeah. It literally happened. It's about 6 whips of that thing, and boom. If he's less than 100 feet away, less than a second, it nailed him. Dave, I remember. I've hit that coyote. I hit that fox. I scared off that bear. Lion. taking care of that sheep, man, I've had it. And I know how to use this. You see the picture here? See, you need to remember. Remember what God has done. I'm going to ask you, remember what God has done. This is a good reason to journal. Hint, hint. Remember my 30-day, remember my 60-day commitment? Was it 60 days? How long was it? 3 months. 90 days. All right, I got it now. That 90-day, I'm about 90% on it, okay? I haven't been able to do it every day. I'm going to be honest. But it's my goal. I don't give up. Some week I've done every 7 days, all right? Some week I hit 5. But I'm still going to go for 7 days. Just because I didn't do it 1 week don't mean I don't try next week. Remember, make a journal, write things down, say what God has done. Right now, I'm getting ready to write a history. I'm going to need some help from Search. I'm going to write a history about how God made the church to this point in its history. I got some history from the church, and it's fun to read some of the, you know, this church started in a tent on this property, in a tent, and met in a tent, was blown away by a storm is what I read. And then they built a building. You know, and then we tore it down and built this building. I want to write the story because I want people to remember. I want people to remember how that street was widened out there and it didn't cost the church a penny. You know, I want people to remember how that parking lot in front of this church didn't cost the church a penny. We couldn't have built this church if we had to pay for those two things. I want to know that that fire hydrant that sits on that corner, that the new water main that we tapped into to put the fire suppression system in, it's down that road right there, what's put in after. There's a story here. You got to remember what God has done. Does that make sense? You're going to find discouragement. You're going to have doubt. And you're going to be disapproved. And you're going to have delay. But remember what God has done. Make some notes. Write a story. My wife's been writing a story about our family. She hasn't worked on it lately, but she's writing a story about our family just so we can remember. Does that make sense? Dream big, but write a story so you remember. How about, what's next? Let's see what I got next. Oh, use the tools that God has given you now. Anybody ever do this one with your dream? When I get the money. Anybody? When I'm a little bit older. When my situation, you know, when the kids grow up and get out of the house. When? Anybody? 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 I want you to circle that word now. Use the tools God has given you now. See, we want to wait. Money, education, relationships, opportunities. We need to see this. Now. I'll share this. This church, and you see the church, and you've got our worship team up here, and Linda can remember this. Linda's the one that's lasted through all the transitions. When I moved to Salida 33 years ago, I had a vision. You're sitting in it. All right? I had that vision. Delay, all right? You know, that was a 27-year delay. Stand that. That was 27 years. I dreamed of moving to the school and doing church in the school and growing the church so big that it wouldn't fit in that building. We had to tear it down and build a new building. And we did. It was delayed. All right. We needed to make some changes in our music program. Anybody? You know? Anybody remember the music box? Come on now. They had that music box. You open this box up, you push a button, and it played the song. It was a great tool. Some of you are laughing. You know? I wanted a worship team. And it's like, man, I need some band people. I need some band people. I need a band, God. I need a band, God. And I'm going to school working on my doctorate. And one of the guys I picked up at the airport in San Francisco, he had flown in to go to the class. And since I lived here, I drove, and I had to pick people up, and I did all the driving. So I pick him up, and here's what his words was. I was telling him we're talking about ministry. He pastored a larger church in Colorado and working on his doctorate. And so I was telling him what I dreamed of, and he goes this. The resources are in the harvest. The resources in the harvest. What he said was this. The band was out there that would come in here when I made the change. So I come back and ask them. We started here, just so you know, we started here playing cassette tapes. We still sang some of the songs. I'm going, that's one from the very beginning. Tiny, come on. You know? I'm thinking of that, you know, Seek Him First, and, you know, some of those songs were some of the... Let me tell you something. I'm glad Sean's here, because I've been wanting a band. I don't know how much of a band you are, Sean, but thanks for being here. You know? That harvest still hasn't came in yet. But I didn't wait. I came back and said, Linda, and some of the people in the church, and Jan back there, and it's like, we're going to do this. And we're going to play tapes. And then we played CDs. And now we're using iPads and all sorts of digital things. And now Sean plays some of our songs for us. But I didn't wait. I could still be waiting, right? Because I don't have a band yet. I got Sean. Thank you. That's not a put down, Sean. That's a pickup, all right? You know? I got one. Some of you guys need to step up. Drums, right, Sean? We need some drummers and a keyboard. And that's my dream. But I didn't wait. What are you waiting for? Is it the delay because of you? Now's the time. Whatever tools God's given you now, the tool was cassette tapes. Can you imagine that? Our first 40-day Bible study was on VHS tapes. You don't know how bad VHS tapes is till you put one in now and look at it on your TV. It's like, we thought that was good. You know, you got the HD TVs, and that tape really looks bad now. You got the tools. Use what you have right now. Does that make sense? Don't wait. Saul had this, had his own military clothes and armor put on David, and he gave David a bronze helmet to wear. David strapped on a sword and tried to walk around, but he was not used to wearing those things. I think that would have been hilarious. Here's this scrawny little teenager with King Saul's armor. You know, fall down like a turtle. He ain't never getting, you know. I can't move with all this stuff on, David said. I'm just not used to it. David took off the armor, picked up his shepherd's stick. He went out to the stream and picked up 5 small rocks and put them in his leather bag. Then with a sling in his hand, he went straight toward Goliath. This is what I have. This is what I knew. This is what I can do. You go with what you have. Is that okay? Let's see that. I thought, Ron, you might like this verse. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Yeah? Well, I'm waiting. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be just right. You know? No, you got to go for it. Let me tell you, someday never comes. Write that one down. Someday never comes. So today is the day. I think that the song like that. Today's the day. We're wrapping up 50 days of transformation. Today's the day. Spiritual health, physical health, emotional health, mental health, relational health, physical, financial health, and today, vocation. Today's the day to be healthy. Anybody? See, that's where we're at. We got to step up. No more delay. Use the tools you got. How about this real quick? I got to move. You ignore the dream busters. You read the story, and I'm going to ask you, who encouraged David? Did his dad? Did his brothers? Did Saul? Did the army, other guys in the army say, yeah, go for it, guy? David had nobody encouraging him. Nobody. Everybody was against him. We got dream busters out there, all right? People want to pop your bubble. Anybody? But here's what I want you to know. You don't get caught up in all this positive thinking. I am a positive person. For those who know me, you know I'm a very positive person. But I'm going to tell you something. It takes more than positive thinking to get things done. There's been time in my life when I couldn't even be positive. It's like, God, I'm done. I'm full up to here. Not just here, up here. You know, it's over. Positive thinking's not enough. Now, you got to watch out for the naysayers, okay? You got to watch out for the negative people. They will pull you down. They will take you out. So how do you deal with that? I like what David says. Look what David says. The Lord has rescued me from the claws of lions and bears, and he will keep me safe from the hands of the Philistine. All right, Saul answered, go ahead and fight him. Hope the Lord will help you. Now I'm going to ask you, listen to me. Are you David or Saul? You get the difference? David, God will help me. Saul, David, I hope God helps you. Which one are you? See, who are you going to get your commission? Where are you going to turn? Nobody's with me. Nobody understands. Nobody gets it. I'm all here by myself. You ever feel alone? God. See, his encouragement came from God. So I'm going to challenge you. Be a David. Remember what God has done. Take what you have right now and go. Don't let somebody pull you down. Don't let all the negative pull you apart. Go. Do it. And here's the last one. You expect God to help you for his glory. I expect God to help me. Because I'm Gary, the great. You know, I tease all the time. The kids call me grape. They call me gray. They call me everything. All right? I'm going to tell you what. You look around this church, and I'll challenge you to do something. Look for my name somewhere. Look for my name. I don't want my name on anything at this church because it's not about me. Someday, long time from now, make sure you hear me, a long time from now, I'll be gone. All right? But I want the church to be better than it is today. I'm long gone because it's not about me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Like I tell you all the time, go over to the new middle school, go over to Dina Bohr, go over to Sis School, nice little bronze plaque in front of those schools. Go up there and look. Go down the names. Dr. Gary Dew. Yeah. Got my name on schools. You know what that means? Nothing. Those little kids walk up there. You know these guys? They don't know. They don't even care. I read to the school the other day right over here. And Dina Bohr, and over here I read to the kids in third grade and the kids in kindergarten and first, Dina Bohr. This is Dr. Gary Dew. Did they care it was Dr. Gary Dew? No. He's on the school board. Did they care? No. Come on, I'm president of the school board as a matter of fact. None of that means anything. Whose glory? It's God's glory. That's what I want. See, God wants to use you for his glory. If you're looking to make a name for yourself, forget it. All right? I'm going to tell you what. You'll flame out pretty quick. Okay? If you want to make a name for God. See, my prayer is that when I walk around town and when people see me around town, they don't think of me as Gary. They think of me as the pastor of this church. My worship team knows I pray this every week that I want others to see Jesus in me and want to join me on this journey. Because it's not about me. But see, God use you. I expect God to do things. You need to know that. I told the worship team this morning, I don't know what God's up to, but I'm going to tell you something right now. God has set this church up for something. We're in a position right now that I don't know what God's doing, but he's got something cooking. All right? You need to see that. God's got something cooking. Look around and think about it. You know, he put this building here for a reason. You know, this building just didn't happen to fall from heaven and fall down here. I think Dan and a lot of us did a lot of work to make this thing happen. And you guys gave a lot of money to this thing happen. And you're still giving a lot of money to pay for this thing. But God's going to do something. I expect God to do something. I expected God through this 40-day of study to bless you guys. I did. I've been giving you those yellow papers, right? There's a yellow paper in your worship folder if you haven't looked. I want you to fill it out because I want to hear the good stories. Because I expect stories. Because I expect God to do something. Because it's Gary. but because it's God's work and it's God's glory. Look at what it says here as we wrap it up. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." Now, talk about being cocky.
Yeah.
The scrawny little kid with a stick in one hand and a sling in the other hand. And big old giant Goliath standing there. Talking about a cocky little kid. "And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God of Israel." You notice what he said. "I'm going to kill you and make a name for myself. I'm David, the new king of Israel. Look at me. I slew Goliath." No, God of Israel. "And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not the sword, but not with sword or spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." See that picture? I'm expecting God to do something. All right? And then he goes like this. That says Jesus wrapped it up with these words. I'm going to finish with Jesus' words. "We entered the house. The blind man came, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I'm able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, be it done to you.'" So as we wrap up this series, I want to ask, can we say, "According to your faith, be it done for you"? Spiritual health, physical health, mental health, emotional health, relational health, financial health, vocational. Can we say, "Be it done to you as your faith"? That's my challenge for you. That's what this study's been about. You're going to be rejected. You're going to face disapproval and discouragement. There's going to be delays in your life. There's going to be doubts. But remember. Remember God. Use it right now. Don't let the dream busters take you out. And then give God the glory, because he's going to do something through you. Does that sound okay? I'm going to tell you, this is the first day of your life from now on. Okay? Do you hear me? This is the first day of your life from now on. Do you have the courage as David? I can take this. Lord, I thank you that you are the same God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That all we need to do is remember that we can move forward with what you've given us already. That in the midst of the dream busters, there's doubt and discouragement, disapproval, and even those delays. That you will work for your glory through us. And we can expect it. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you've had your dreams crushed. Maybe it's been delays. Maybe it's been the disapproval, maybe even in your own family. Maybe it's just discouragement. Just doubting yourself. You want me to pray for you that God will renew that dream. Physical health, spiritual health, emotional health, mental health, that relational health, that financial health, and that vocational. You want me to pray for you in that dream. Would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these that have a dream. You've given them a vision and a picture for their lives and for their hearts. And Lord, in the midst of that, there's discouragement and disapproval and doubt and deny. That we remember you. Lord, I pray that you bring to their minds right now the conquering moments where you showed up. that in the midst of heartache you stepped in, that in the midst of battles that you conquered, that in the midst of depression you infilled. Lord, let them remember those moments when they felt all alone, but you were there. Give them a vision of how to use what you've given them, Lord, to use what they already have to accomplish what is set before them. Lord, I ask you to remove the dream busters, whether it's people or situations or circumstances, that you remove those circumstances, that you remove those dream busters, and then let them in not a cockiness, because it's not on them, but the confidence of expecting you to do something. Fill them with strength, fill them with power. For we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.